Almighty God, as we gather to worship you on this first Sunday of the new year, we acknowledge that you are the Lord of all hopefulness. Give us eyes to see the blessings in each day. Give us hands to serve you and those you send our way. And finally, Lord, give us grace that we may offer all that we are into the hands of your Son, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany. I thought it was the 12th day of Christmas, and then I was reminded last night was the 12th night of Christmas, so this is the 13th day of Christmas, and we're going to leave the decorations up for a while. It's just easier. We'll take them down at some point, so I'd like you to hold three words in your mind for the next few moments as we kind of travel through this homily. The three words are look, serve, and give. Look, serve, and give. There's a story of a farmer who used to have an old horse to till his fields, and one day the horse escaped into the hills. And when the farmer's neighbors sympathized with the old man over his bad luck, the farmer replied, "Bad luck, good luck, who's to say?" And a week later, a horse returned with a herd of horses from the hills. And this time, his neighbors congratulated the farmer on his good luck. And his reply was, "Good luck, bad luck, who's to say?" And then when the farmer's son was attempting to tame one of those wild horses, he fell off its back and broke his leg. Everyone thought it was very bad luck, and the farmer's reaction was, who's to say? Some weeks later, the army marched into the village and conscripted every able-bodied youth they found there, and when they saw the farmer's son with his broken leg, they let him off. Was that good luck or bad luck? Who's to say? You know, the circumstances of life are often not so easy to interpret until the moment has passed. What may seem like incredible good luck may be bad. Take, for instance, all those stories of those who've won the lottery and yet within years fall on hard times out of poor financial decisions. What may seem like extraordinarily bad fortune turns out to be amazingly good. We've all heard stories about the person who goes in for the routine checkup. Something grave is found, but fortunately, the doctor is able to treat the scary discovery of a tumor or the heart murmur long before it becomes fatal. Good luck, bad luck, who's to say? We may be asking those kinds of questions about the year gone by and about the year to come. Most of us, I certainly include myself, can't believe we're in 2019. Another 12 months have just flown right past us. Now, in some ways, January is an exciting month. It's a transitional month for many of us, a month of new beginnings. There's little doubt that the name derives itself from the Roman god Janus, J-A-N-U-S. Janus is usually depicted as having two faces, one looking to the past and one to the future. So here we are 6 days into the new year, and this is often a time when we reflect on the circumstances of our lives, what has been and what might be. Now, of course, looking back is not a bad thing. The Israelites were continually asked to look back at the miraculous things God had done for them, most notably, of course, the deliverance from centuries of slavery in Egypt. The Passover became the most important observance in Judaism, and it remains so today. And the same is true of our own service of Holy Communion. It's a reminder to look back with gratitude for all Christ has done for us. When it comes to our own lives, there's more than just looking back, though. Janus has another face, and it's looking forward to the future. And this is where we are today. We're looking ahead. We're wondering what's next. Part of the reason for looking back to the Passover was to remind the Israelites to look forward in faith that God would always be there for them. Part of the reason we look back with the help of Holy Communion is to stand on the promises of Christ's death and resurrection, that though we too will die, we too, through our trust in his grace, will rise. And so it is with our personal lives. We don't just look back, we look ahead. Many of you may be asking here at the dawn of 2019, what will this year bring to me? What will I be able to achieve? How will my family and I be affected by this force or another? What will I do to improve my health or wealth? What will happen that will alter my life? What can I reasonably expect to happen? And maybe you're wondering, you know, where is God leading me? What can I do to better utilize my gifts in the kingdom of God? You know, when we begin asking those questions, we can actually become quite fearful that we might make a decision that we'll regret. Indeed, we can become so focused on the present circumstances of life that we miss the bigger picture. What lands in our lap today? Is it good luck or bad luck? Who's to say? Many of us can become paralyzed from enjoying the life we have because we spend so much time evaluating it, worrying about what has been or what will come. So as we look back, as we look forward, the weight of the intersection of these two can either be full of woe and angst and worry, or full of hopefulness and joy and perhaps even peace. What might be the bridge that carries us from one to the other, from worry to hope? So the short question I'm putting before you today is simply, what choices or decisions might you carry into 2019 that will help it be a fuller and more meaningful year than the one that has just come to an end? Well, when we turn to the gospel lesson, we hear once again the story of the Magi. Herod pulls aside some Magi, likely astrologists, those who read signs about what will be. He's heard about the boy Jesus. He tells a big fat lie, requesting they go and find Jesus so he can honor him. Of course, what we know is that he wants to kill him. And keeping their eyes on that miraculous star, the Magi seek him out, and they find them. By the way, if you listen closely to the gospel, at this point, Jesus is no longer in a manger. He's in a house. It's most likely months after Jesus' birth. And we're told they're overwhelmed with joy. Now, Matthew doesn't say that there are three Magi, but we assume so because he does point to three gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, each representing aspects of Jesus' life yet to be. Gold for a king, and Jesus was a king, the King of Kings. Frankincense used in worship of God, presented to honor God's presence, used by priests in worship, emphasizing the priestly role that Jesus would have. And then finally, myrrh. An ointment rich in value, but used to anoint the body of one who has died. The myrrh spoke of Jesus' future, that along with the joy of birth, there comes the death. Along with the gift of Jesus will come his sacrifice. What the Magi bring to the place of Jesus' feet are simply treasure chests full of the stuff of life. There would be days for Jesus that would be rich, treasures to behold. There would be days when every way he turned gave him the opportunity to fulfill his mission to the world, to change it, to serve as a healing priest and a pastor to a broken and dark world. And there would be days when death's shadow grew closer and darker to the point where he finally took his very own last breath. What can we learn from the way Jesus lived with these three gifts, this stuff of life? For you and me, we also have riches. We also have opportunities to serve. We also face all kinds of deaths in our life. The death of parts of our lives, the death of loved ones, our own deaths. What do gold and frankincense and myrrh have to say to us? Well, let's start with gold. When it comes to our day-to-day lives, we perhaps too often associate gold with wealth, with possessions, money, jewelry, but real wealth is more than that, isn't it? The writer Jan Fuller talks about working with her siblings to help build a house for her parents in Northern California, a place known for great gold discoveries. She said as they cleared the land, they had hoped they might find a motherlode vein of gold. But instead, they only found quartz, a large chunk of which she brought home and she keeps on her desk. The chunk reminds her that there are more veins of gold in life than we can mine in a lifetime. In our homes, in our workplaces, in our relationships. Does it take a hammer or a pickaxe to find it? Only a willingness to look. an open heart, and a certainty that everything in its own way is a golden gift. She suggests we all perhaps dig around in the dirt of our lives and find the precious nuggets all around us. So, look for the gold. As to the frankincense, we're not all called to be ordained. We're not all called to be priests or pastors, but as God's children, we are all called to serve. We can't opt out of that. But even that can be weighed down with angst. Am I doing enough? Am I doing exactly what God calls me to do? Where do I even begin? That really is the wrong approach. What did Jesus do? Did he have to wait to have all the questions answered, or did he just serve? As soon as he stepped out from under the baptismal waters of his first cousin John the Baptist, he began to serve. He prayed, he listened, he taught, he loved, he discipled. He didn't worry about the year-end reports. He just did what God called on him to do. And you and I are called to do the same, to serve. Like those golden moments, the serving moments require open eyes, an open heart. Look around for the need. Pour out your heart in little ways and big ways. Maybe we could live that little verse written by Charles Meigs a little over 100 years ago. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me live for others that I might live like thee. So serve those God sends your way. And then the myrrh. Yes, it is a reminder that death is a part of life. This also calls on us to have the eyes of faith. We can see death as an end or as a beginning, as a new door to new life. You know, there are all kinds of deaths. The end of a marriage, a job, a friendship, the end of youth, the death of innocence, the challenge of declining health with age. We could look at all of them as merely the end. But our faith promises us that there's more to life than endings. Each ending in the hands of God becomes only a new beginning. We can become lost in wondering whether each moment is good fortune or bad fortune, good luck or bad luck. Or we can trust that placed in God's hands, everything has the potential to be a treasure chest. And that, my friends, is really where the rubber hits the road. So I asked you a moment ago, what might be the bridge between angst and worry and woe to hope and joy and peace? The gold and frankincense and myrrh of our lives have the potential actually to take us in either direction. The bridge between worry and hope is simply to accept that everything is a gift of God and to trust God in each and every one. To trust him to shower on you the moments of gold, to trust him to guide you how to serve, to trust him with the dead ends of your life that they might be new beginnings. What did the Magi do with their gifts? They handed them over to God incarnate, Jesus Christ. What are you and I to do with all of our lives? Hand them over to God incarnate in Jesus Christ and trust that he'll make the best use of them. He'll make the best use of us. It's a great story of a man who dreamed one night that he died and was given a chance to visit both hell and heaven. In his dream, though, the one thing that death did to all people was actually to stiffen their elbows. In either realm, no one could bend their arms. They were forced to live with this kind of physical disability. In hell, the dreamer saw terrible conflict and agitation. Everyone was hungry, everyone had bread in both hands, but given the stiffness, the rigidity of their elbows, they could not get the food to their own mouths. Each one was concerned only for him or herself, and the misery was unspeakable. The dreamer was then taken to heaven, where all the human beings had the same physical rigidity, only these folks had discovered a solution. Everyone was laughing. They were full of joy and celebration. Although they couldn't feed themselves with their stiffened elbows, they could reach out and feed one another. And thus he realized the difference between heaven and hell, a willingness to give of the blessings God has given to you, to give yourself to all those God sends your way, to give even the dark and desperate places of your life to God, trusting every moment in the past, trusting every moment yet to come to the hands of God Almighty, may be the very difference between heaven and hell. So what to do with the year gone by? What to do with the year ahead? What to do with all of this stuff of life? Well, don't live like so many people I talk to are living right now. What was the stock market doing today? Day to day, living day to day. There is a much bigger picture. What to do with all of this? Do as Jesus did. Hand it all over to God and live in all the moments God has given you. And that's where you'll begin to find a deep peace indeed. Look for the golden nuggets in life. And they'll start springing up not just in jewelry stores or coin shops, but in places you never expected. Look for those who need you to serve them in big ways and small. Be frankincense incarnate by pouring out your life into the lives of others. And give the deaths of life over to God's redeeming hands. Allow God to anoint you with the myrrh of His Holy Spirit, that any death you might face in His hands will be raised to new life, will be resurrected. So that's, my friends, what to do with the stuff of life. Look, serve, give, trusting that in God's hands there is no need to fear, and every reason to hope. Happy New Year, and amen.